Discover insights to boost your business or improve your quality of life right here on the Soar to Success podcast with your host, Pat Altvader.
Welcome to the Soar to Success podcast. I am so thrilled today to introduce you to my guest, Freya Ramsey, yoga therapist and co-owner of Taproot Yoga Chardon. Let's hear what Freya has to say.
So go ahead and tell our audience what you do, and then more importantly, why you do it.
So I am a yoga therapist, which is slightly different than a yoga teacher. It's kind of a cross between a yoga teacher and a physical therapist. And I work with people often who have some kind of chronic pain or tension in their body, or some immune deficiency issues, or anxiety, or depression, all different kinds of conditions. But I work with them to try to create balance, either in their musculature and also always in the nervous system. So teaching them how to regulate their nervous system so that their bodies can heal and come into balance. And I do it because it just feels so good to help people feel better. You know, I don't think many people realize how good they can feel in their bodies, because we all just go through our lives trying to accomplish the things on our to-do list, and the only time we really think about our bodies is if they're hungry or they're complaining about something, as opposed to taking the time to be present and do things that really feel good and right.
Yes, I never heard of yoga therapists before. Has it that modality been around for a long time?
Traditionally, a guru or a teacher would work one-on-one with students. So traditional yoga is a bit more like yoga therapy, but just because the way it was introduced to the West, it came in more of a group classes kind of environment. Yes. And so the yoga therapist usually works privately or in small groups dealing with specific issues. So it's not a new profession, but it's definitely getting more validity here in the U.S. You know, there's an international association and credentials, and all of that has come about, you know, I'm not exactly sure, but I want to guess in the last 20 or 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So how did you get started, and how long ago was it?
I started yoga when I was 20, and I definitely right away saw the therapeutic value for myself, because I always dealt with anxiety, but I didn't realize it. It was just such my normal state of being that I pretty much thought everyone felt that way all the time. I didn't realize it was not really, you know, normal, or it's unfortunately it is quite normal, but you know, not the healthy, balanced way to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I started yoga, it was really challenging to be still and to quiet my mind, and sometimes it was like torture. But I think some part of me knew that it's what I needed, because I just kept going back, you know, and I just kept trying. And, you know, slowly but surely, it's not something, sometimes it happens, you know, right away, and that you have aha moments or big transformations. But the majority of the growth happens kind of slow and steady. You know, just keep showing up, keep practicing, keep paying attention. And so I started that when I was 20, and then I didn't do my yoga teacher training until my daughter was a toddler, and I, you know, needed something for myself. And I still didn't think I was going to be a yoga teacher. I just did that training for myself. And then once I started doing the teaching practicum, I just realized how much I loved it. And then, you know, just turned into a trainee junkie and took training after training and training until eventually I ended up being a yoga therapist. So.
And over how many years did that evolve then?
Let's see. I think that all happened within about 4 years that I got that certification, just because I just dove right into it, and I loved it so much. It's one of those professions or one of those things that, you know, the more that you give, the more you get back so much. So, you know, it's not truly as altruistic as it can sound, because it feeds me just as much as it you know, helps people. I'm not, you know, healing anybody or doing anything. I'm just passing on the tools that were shared with me, and then sharing how I helped myself with those tools. Mm-hmm. And they're really tools. They're like different practices, different techniques, and different ones are applicable to different situations and different times in our lives. So that what's right for one person isn't necessarily going to be what's right for another person. I mean, that's common sense, but I think when it comes to fitness or health, we all look for this formula, you know, and we want someone to tell us what to do exactly. And, you know, I can definitely guide people, but a huge part of the practice is the being present with yourself, paying attention, and then discerning what is beneficial and what's not beneficial, what helps to bring you into balance, and what kind of draws you further out of balance.
Mm-hmm. And do you talk to people before they start one of your classes so you understand about what's going on with them, or does that just come through the course, the class, coming?
If it's a private session, I definitely, you know, want to get a really good understanding of what they're coming in for. If it's a group class, like I have a yoga studio, and, you know, there's quite a lot of people who come into each class. So I always ask at the beginning of class what's aching and what people want to work on. And we do ask when they sign their intake form, you know, if they have any specific conditions that we should be concerned about or pay attention to. But I have been doing it for so long that, not that I can know everything that's going on for somebody by any means, but structurally, you know, I can look and pretty quickly assess where the structural imbalances are. Mm-hmm. You know, different range of motion issues, different functional, dysfunctional movement patterns, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've gotten pretty good at reading facial expressions. So, you know.
Do you face your class when you're doing it? Are you facing?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you do see those facial expressions, like, oh my gosh, it's so
good. Yeah. I'll say, okay, come into the, you know, the position only to the place where you don't feel pain, and then I'll see someone's face and I'll say, you're not listening to me. I can see that you're in pain. And it's not because I'm a psychic or a mind reader.
So when you talk about classes, are people signing up for like a certain period of time to come for classes? And you have a center, right, where they come?
We do. I just opened actually our second space, which is in Chardon, Ohio. It's called Taproot Yoga. And we have over 35 classes a week. So I have other teachers. You know, I have a large group of teachers, and then we also have massage there and energy medicine and, you know, all different services that we're offering. And this is new for me because for quite a few years, my husband and I have owned a smaller space in Chagrin called the Integral Life Center, and we both saw private clients there. So that was much more one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And I do love doing that work, working privately with people, but I missed the community piece and really wanted to open a larger studio because we all need, I think, you know, I am biased, of course, but I think everybody needs yoga or some form of yoga, mindfulness, meditation, you know, doing things to feed their body and their soul. But one of the things that does feed our soul that we all need is community. And we've really created this space that has, I don't even want to say we created the community, because we just created the space and the community has come and created itself. And people get a lot from sharing their journey with yoga with other people. So it is an individual practice, but then when you do it in community like that, it's like the, you know, the sums of the part equal more than the whole or something like that. Am I saying that right?
Exactly.
Yeah. There's something that happens. There's some synergy that happens with that group energy.
Yeah.
You know, and so it lifts everybody up.
Wow. So how many different, you said you had 35 classes. How many different practitioners do you have?
We have nine.
Nine.
And every
different types of things.
Yeah, I mean, I just ask that every teacher teaches what the yoga that is true for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, each practice isn't going to be right for each person, and it's not. Now, people think of it as like, okay, well, what's the big first class, and then they want to go up to like, what's the most advanced class?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really the way that it works with yoga. What happens is you want to find the level that meets you physically where you are. And so if you want a gentle class, that doesn't mean that it's easier. It maybe is physically less demanding, but it doesn't mean that to advance you need to go to a vigorous class.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not being quite clear. So some people need to move vigorously mm-hmm. for the health of their mind. Some people need to move slowly for the health of their mind.
Yes.
So the practice of yoga is really about the mind. You know, how can we do things to positively affect our mind, to clear out the clutter, to wipe out the stress and the tension so that we can be clear and focused and compassionate, you know, really be true to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And some people who, like myself, who maybe tend towards being anxious or high-strung, we're going to be drawn towards a vigorous class because that's where our energy goes. You know, and sometimes a vigorous class is helpful to, like, burn out some of that crazy. You got to, like, shake it out of there. But that really what I need is a really slow, gentle, soothing practice.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't always start there. If I start there, or especially if a beginner student starts there, then they might, like I said earlier when I took my first classes, it might be torture and they might not come back
mm-hmm.
because it's almost making them be too still too quickly.
Yes. So
you want to meet somebody as the teacher, meet somebody where they are, and then find out where they want to go, and then guide them there gradually.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, if somebody comes in and they're really type A, they're probably going to want a vigorous class. So you start there if they're physically fit, but then you slowly work them into being able to be slower in their body, more still, longer and longer holds, longer and longer meditations. Do you see where I'm going, where it's like this?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
and
like
I'm relating
a,
it to my own self, yes.
Yes, oh yes, absolutely. I don't know any driven type A women.
So how long is a class when somebody comes to your center and they sign up for a class? Is it so many weeks, and how many days a week do they come?
So it's totally up to the individual. We have, you know, you can just come for one class. You can do passes. You can do monthly membership. So we don't do them in series. You know, you just come as you want to. And
okay.
And the class is an hour or an hour and 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people always ask me how often they should come. And there's always this place where I don't want to make these unrealistic demands on people because something is always better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But there is kind of this magic place where when you go from one time a week or two times a week to three, once you're doing it three times a week, then there's like it lasts longer, you know, and you don't kind of, and you make progress much more quickly in terms of just your awareness and your understanding of what's going on, your muscle memory. You know, you don't get as tight in between. You don't get as sore after the practice.
Yes. Okay, that makes sense too. So can you give me an example of someone other than yourself that you've seen real success with? You don't have to say the person's name, but what they came with and what their result was?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So one thing that is very common that people come with is lower back pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's pretty common in our culture from sitting so often and, you know, driving or at desks or computers. And so that is, I would say, probably the easiest and the fastest thing to see results with. sometimes people will come in and they'll be like, I feel better right away. So that's always nice. No promises, you know. And you know, it's one of those things that if it's caused by the actions you're doing in your daily life, then taking one yoga class might make it feel better, but it's going to come back again. Mm-hmm. So not only do you want to start doing the yoga movements to help release that pain, but you also want to start looking at your daily life and what actions am I doing and how can I change them in some way so that I'm not causing the chronic tension to build up.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, lower backs are pretty easy fix if people are willing to commit to doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Neck issues, neck and shoulder issues. Hip stuff is kind of comes in like third. There's a little, it gets a little more complicated. but truly those, all of those are related to posture and different types of postural imbalances then cause tension in different parts of the body. So people who have, everyone has their spot where they hold tension or gets aggravated when they're under stress. And that spot is based on their posture and the movements that they do on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you see chiropractic care fitting in with yoga? Is it a plus or is it not needed if you're doing yoga? Or tell me about that.
Well, I personally, and this is totally a personal opinion, I guess, as everything I'm saying is, but, you know, and there are all different kinds of chiropractors and different levels of, I guess, skill and ability. But in my experience, it has really helped me. It's gone hand in hand with my yoga and with other types of self-care practices like or seeing other practitioners. Like I'm a huge fan of massage therapy and cranial sacral work and energy work, and that they all work together. They just come in at different places. So chiropractors are working with the bones. I'm working usually with the muscles and the fascia. But of course, when we work with the muscles and the fascia, it affects the bones and vice versa. You know, so they're all working together.
Yeah. So if you were going to give someone a recipe for success, for complete contentment and joy in their life, what would be the recommendations that you would make? So like I'm getting at, would you say, oh, you should have massage once a month, or you should have massage twice a month, or would you should have chiropractic once a month and you should have yoga twice a week, or, you know, I don't know if that's possible to say that, but like what are the different components that would come in that you think would really make a difference for the general person?
Yeah, so finding a 10-minute routine that you can do in the morning and at night, 10 minutes, you know, to say you can, of course, do an hour in the morning and at night, but let's be realistic, you know, what can people actually commit to?
Mm-hmm.
So when you get out of bed, here are 3 stretches so that you move your spine in the 6 directions that it can go. And right before bed, here are, you know, 3 other movements. So you move it in the 6 directions so that you're at least keeping your spine supple.
Mm-hmm.
And then some kind of back bend every day to counter all the forward folding we do. And that could be a big back bend, but it doesn't have to be. You can lay on your back on the floor and then put a little towel roll under the back of your hips and pelvis and rest on that, and that'll give you a gentle back bend.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to reverse all that forward folding. Otherwise, you just keep folding forward and you don't ever, that's when your, you know, posture gets worse and worse and worse as we age and those rounded shoulders. And then the other piece, well, gosh, see, you asked me this, and there's a million things, of course, but I try to keep it simple for beginners. Breathe.
Yeah.
So set your alarm on your phone for 3 times during the day and take 5 deep breaths. and focus on the exhalation more than the inhalation, because you have to get the stale air out before you can get fresh air in. Otherwise, there's no room. There's no place for it to go.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, exhaling slowly and deeply slows down your brain waves and calms your nervous system. And then the piece that I do, even when I don't do anything else, the most important piece for me is that I do a daily yoga nidra, and that is a type of meditation that translates as yogic sleep. And basically, you know, it's a guided meditation, or I can do it to myself at this point, where it just goes through different points of the body and has you pay attention to different things. But it systematically releases and relaxes your muscles and the corresponding parts in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea is that I am regulating my nervous system. I'm taking time every day to remind it that it knows how to turn off the stress response, you know, and kind of set that baseline as a non-stressful state of being.
Mm-hmm.
Because stress is going to happen. It happens to all of us all the time. Stress isn't actually the issue. The issue is that when that stress response gets triggered over and over again, our bodies forget how to turn it off.
Yeah.
And so then we're always in that state, you know, and then it depletes everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that sounds like a fantastic routine every day. And it doesn't
take
that long.
Well, no, I mean, yoga nidra, you can do different lengths, but like the shortest one usually is 20 minutes, 22 minutes. And, you know, you can do that right after lunch. It's kind of like a little power nap. I mean, it's really, I just feel so rejuvenated afterwards for the rest of my day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. That sounds great. So what's a tip that you could offer to someone who has never done yoga before, but they are starting to understand the benefits and they're just not sure what to do? Should they come in for a consultation or should they just jump into a class? What's the best thing?
I think that if somebody is, you know, brand new and a little unsure, that finding a class or a workshop that is for beginners is really helpful. And then also, if you have any physical limitations, make sure that you check in that it's going to be the right class for you, because, you know, there are a million different ways to move your body, and yoga does not have to be what we traditionally see as sun salutations or these, you know, vigorous big movements.
Yes.
There are, what it is basically the physical practice of yoga is moving your body in different ways, stretching, strengthening, releasing tension so that you can feel good in your body. And, you know, you can do a chair class that does that. You can do a hot power yoga class that does that. And so don't try a class. I guess my advice would be, if you try a class and you don't like it, don't think that yoga isn't for you, because there are so many different ways of presenting it. And it really has probably a lot more to do with the teacher and whether or not you connect with the teacher and if they're really paying attention and meeting the students where they are, as opposed to saying, well, this is, you know, the way yoga is and you have to fit yourself to this yoga.
Mm-hmm.
It's really you fit the yoga practice to the person.
Yes. Yes, that makes sense. So how long have you had your Taproot location open?
Just since September.
Just since September, wow. That sounds like a real risk. Was it a risk? Did you feel like you were taking a risk when you...
It was a huge leap. It was one of those where it was like, we almost, you know, got enough money to, you know, in investments, we almost were, but it was like, you know, the two pieces didn't match up, so there was that leap. And, you know, we're still living in that place that, like, okay, we're pretty sure it was a good idea, but we won't know for a little while longer. You know, it's, But we also, you know, my husband is my business partner, and we looked at all the numbers, and we, you know, looked at each other, and we looked in our hearts, and we're like, even if this fails, there's no way we cannot move forward because it's really the culmination of a lifetime so far of the work we've both done. Yeah. It's all a bunch of different parts and pieces that didn't always seem like they fit together, but they all have just fit together seamlessly in this space where we are now.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have something traumatic that happened in the past, right?
Yeah, we had an accident, a fall, 7 years ago.
Okay.
And, my husband and I, well, we were hiking, my husband, my daughter, and I, and we slipped, or I slipped, and my husband lunged to try to kind of grab me, but he couldn't, and then we both slid down the side of a hill and then went off of the edge of a cliff and dropped quite far. Different reports say a different height, but, you know, I landed on my face, and I broke my face and my arm and, you know, had, like, whiplash and reversed the curve in my spine, and my husband broke his leg and his knee and his back. And it was a very traumatic accident.
And so how old was your daughter at the time?
She was 8.
She was 8. And how did you get help?
It was a beautiful day, and it was one of the metro parks. And so there were a lot of people around.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they called, and we had to be life flighted out.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so that was quite a long recovery for you, wasn't it?
It was. It's kind of funny because we joked for a while that it's better to fall on your face, because I recovered much more quickly because I could be weight-bearing, you know, and my husband landed on his feet and then shattered his leg and up his spine, it took him a lot longer to be able to move around and, you know, to go back to work. So it was a long recovery, and it also, you know, I don't know if this is true for everybody who's had some kind of experience like that, but time warps in a way, you know. So in some ways it seemed like it went by really quickly, but of course not when we were in it, in the thick of it.
Yeah. And how did that transform your thinking about what you wanted to do in the future? Did it have an impact or not?
Well, I was actually already doing the work that I do, but I had never had chronic pain before that. And so even though, you know, I tried to be compassionate and understanding, and of course no one wants to know that someone else is in pain, I definitely think that my level of compassion and understanding, you know, just deepened so much, because you don't know until you're in constant pain how much it just nags and wears away on you. And it's not even the pain anymore that's the problem so much. It's that you have no energy left to participate in other areas, because you're always having to use up so much of your energy just to sustain.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And then I also didn't realize how many people there really were who were in so much pain. And I think that, you know, just when people hearing about our story, or, you know, just it just people felt more open to talk about it. And one of the things that I found out about chronic pain is that people stop talking about it because they don't want to be perceived as whiners, or, you know, they start to see people's eyes glaze over. And so it can be really isolating as well. So it's just helped me to understand it so much better, and to realize how many people suffer, and that what we all need, like I said before, is community. And so if you can feel like there's a safe space for you to come and, you know, be honest and real and say, yeah, I'm in a lot of pain, and how, what can I do to help? And then, you know, you can't get rid of all kinds of chronic pain. I feel lucky because I have been able to, you know, heal myself from that for the most part. but my husband still has nerve pain, and that's not something that he can just, you know, heal by stretching. And, you know, that's, and so a huge part of the practice, the mindfulness, is accepting what is, and then saying, and how do I move forward in my life accepting this? That doesn't mean resigning to it, you know, with a sense of defeat, but just, yeah, accepting and then moving forward and knowing that that's not all of who you are. You know, just because you're in pain, you aren't your pain. You're so much more than that.
Yeah, that's a really good insight to have, isn't it?
Oh, it makes all the difference. It makes so much difference because, you know, any kind of pain, physical or emotional, it becomes all-consuming, and it becomes your whole experience. And so yoga can give you this perspective where even you can still maybe have that pain inside of you, but you have all this other experience all around it, surrounding it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And so what do you guys hope for with your business? What's your vision for the future?
Oh, my gosh. We have so many big dreams, and we're trying to be slow and steady and, you know, patient. We have area to expand for a really big, large studio space within there. Right now we have two smaller studios. And there's also space to do a commercial kitchen, so we could have, you know, a juice bar, healthy food.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be offering trainings, so that yoga teacher trainings, and then also yoga therapy trainings and energy medicine trainings. And then long term, either at this space or some other space, we want to have a healing retreat center.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so people can come and, you know, spend a week or 2 weeks or however long and really immerse themselves and find that, you know, it just gives you that space if you can retreat from the world for a little while and focus on yourself. And then when you go back into the world, you have so much more reserves and resiliency.
Yeah. Wow, that sounds fabulous.
Yeah, I'll let you know when it's ready.
Yeah, okay. So what do you guys do for fun? Do you still go hiking?
We do. Honestly, since we opened, we have not been doing much other than working at the studio. It's very encompassing. But my daughter, her passion is not yoga. Her passion is horses. So that brings us out of the studio to go be with her and, you know, go to her shows, and so that's wonderful. And then we just try to make sure that we have time, the three of us, you know, going for walks or bike rides or, you know, just sitting, playing with the dogs, like just things that are not related to the studio, because it's challenging when you work with your partner and, you know, our daughter is a part of the business too. Even though she's only 15, she has some great ideas and, you know, she's working at the desk. And so it's really hard when you come home to not be continue conversations that you were having there. Mm-hmm. And so we're learning how to have good boundaries around that, because we see how it can be so encompassing, and that's not really practicing what we preach of having balance in your life and, you know. So in the past, we did a lot more things, and we're trying to get ourselves back to doing more things. But as, now that the weather's getting nicer, it'll be a lot easier too. Like, we like to kayak and rollerblade and, you know, just be outside, all different kinds of things outside. Hiking is probably the number one. Yeah, so many beautiful parks around here. We're so blessed with the nature.
Yeah. Well, you know, everything's, you know, at some point when people talk about balance, you know, you're starting this new facility and you do have to put more time into that. And then as things start to level out, then you have more time to do your other things. So
I
find that to be true, you know, working on projects or whatever.
So, you can go out of balance for a certain amount of time, but it's just not sustainable long term. So you have to And it's, yeah, I know. I remind myself of that too, because I think there's this false belief that balance means you're always like perfectly in the middle, but I don't think that's how it actually plays out.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this has been really interesting talking to you. Why don't you let our listeners know how they can reach you and the location of your facility?
The Taproot Yoga Studio is in Chardon, Ohio, at 131 Wilson Mills Road.
Okay.
And you can reach me there. I teach several classes a week. We have an online schedule. The website is www.taprootyogachardon.com. Mm-hmm. And you can also email me there at info@taprootyogachardon.com.
Okay, perfect. Well, great. I have one other thing that I'd like to talk about with you, and that is for everyone that's on my podcast, the Sort of Success podcast, I always like to ask them, what are three traits that when you see them in someone, you know that they will soar to success, whether it be with yoga or whatever. And so can you give me three traits that you think are necessary for a person to have?
Yeah. So I'll give you the one that I struggle with the most to have myself. So the one that I admire the most. Right.
You need to learn, right?
Yes. Is focus.
Okay.
So, you know, having a clear focus and not getting distracted by every idea or, you know, new thing. And that one's very hard for me because I am very creative and I get excited about things and I have lots of ideas. But just because you have a million ideas doesn't mean that you need to move forward with all of them. So focus, number one. And luckily for me, my husband David is incredibly focused. And so he helps to balance that piece out for me. And I, you know, I work on that all the time with my yoga practice. That's what meditation is focus. So, the second one I would say is being resilient. So being, you know, flexible and resilient, being able to change your mind about things. And so it's kind of the opposite of the focus, but having both of those in balance. So I would say I'm really good at that piece, you know, that I can plans change or something changes. I just, oh, okay. So how can we, what can we do now? How can we go make this work? So I think you need both of those. And then I really think the most important is being interested in other human beings, being compassionate. I think they go hand in hand, you know, that if you're not compassionate, then you really don't care. I can't imagine that you'd be interested because I don't think it matters what you're doing. Even if you're working, you know, on a computer all day, you're still, you know, you still need to connect with people and figure out what people need and want and how you can serve them. And so how we can all serve each other.
Yeah, those are great. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure.
So it has been an absolute delight to talk to you today. I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the Sort of Success podcast, and I wish you great success with your Taproot Yoga location.
Thank you so much, and thank you for all your help and support. You are definitely one of those people who has inspired me, one of those really strong and successful and compassionate women. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Well, take care, and bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Soar to Success podcast. For more insights into growing your business or improving your quality of life, visit soartosuccessmagazine.com and subscribe to the Soar to Success podcast on iTunes.